We'll go ahead and get our time started, and we want to welcome you guys. This is semester B of our fall semester. You want to close these? Is that better?
Ah.
Yeah, you guys are in the big zone over here. But welcome everybody to the fall B semester. This is a class, How People Change. And it's really going to be, you can see on the sheet that you have there, hopefully everybody was able to grab a sheet. The blank side is the side we're looking at, and there's a reason that's blank. So the tagline for the class basically is examining the biblical doctrine of sanctification and how God actively transforms believers over time through the work of the Holy Spirit, repentance, and obedience to God's Word. So we're going to be spending the next 10 weeks just looking at that very thing, just how God is growing us, how God is maturing us, how God is working in us, and why he's doing that. Where's he taking us? Those kinds of questions. So it's one theologian said this: the doctrine of sanctification is the time that we spend between our justification and our glorification, right? So that's... And a big aspect of that experience is community. And we're going to try something a little bit different in our class, where this is going to be not so much a lecture class as much as it's going to be more of a lab. Okay? So the material that we're going to discover together, we're going to discover that together. Okay? So I'm going to give you a prompt. There's this analogy of learning. You may have heard of it, where we look at a fish. There was a biology professor who, in order for his class to learn, he just basically brought in a fish, put it down on the table and said, "Look at the fish and tell me what you see," and then left. And so it gave them days, turned into weeks, turned into months. The account is written by one of the students of that class. But the premise was to just look and to observe and to really start interacting with the material, in that case a fish, in order to learn and see everything there was to see about this fish, to learn more and more about it. And in the same way, that's how we want to approach the subject here. Okay, so it's going to be it's a guided tour with just a lot of discovery. So we'll put a fish on the table each week. The big fish is our sanctification. And without trying to give a lot of information, we want all of us together to discover the information about what that even means. Okay, does that make sense? So hopefully there's a lot of good interaction. And again, the context for that is community. So obviously we are going to come as, just like the tag says, obedience to God's Word. God's Word is the foundation. It is what informs us about this process. And so we're going to be diving into Scripture together, but a lot of folks, and I'm just going to take a show of hands real quick, how many of you have been saved more than a year? Okay? More than 5 years. You just keep your hands up, okay? More than 10 years. More than 15. More than 20, 30, 40, 50. Okay, I'll stop there. Just, yes. You're welcome, Steve. So, by that show of hands, what does that tell us? There's sanctification going on. What else? They stacked the deck over here? Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking. What does that tell us about this, the time we're going to spend together? Yes. Different life stages, different experiences, different perspectives. So I can stand up here and I can walk through the doctrine of sanctification, but I'm going to come at it from a certain viewpoint. Okay, there's going to be shades of nuance about what we look at, where I'm going to be coming at it from some of my own experiences. And the beauty, this all gets wrapped up and we're going to unpack each of these things, but the community aspect is so important because that community aspect is what chiefly reflects the glory of God. God is a triune being. And he has existed as a triune being from eternity past, right? And so the community that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit becomes the context in which we are saved and brought into the church, okay? With Christ as the head of the church. So without getting too far ahead of myself, that's why what we're going to try with this class is to discover the different aspects of our sanctification. We're going to cover things like today we're going to unpack that tagline for the class. You guys are going to point out some observations. You're going to bring your experiences. And we're going to have a workshop for about 15, 20 minutes where you just look at that. And then we're going to come back together and see what you guys saw. And we're going to put that together to help us really understand where we're going. Okay? So it's going to be a lot of involvement. There is a tendency when we get together that we're pretty quiet. We wait to answer. I think a lot of times out of good reason we're being respectful, giving other people an opportunity. But if everybody's giving everybody else an opportunity, nobody's talking. Okay? So we really want to encourage, just go ahead and jump in. While being respectful that we want to get as much input as we can from the class, because again, there's a lot of experience. There's a lot of life experience walking with Christ represented in this room. And we primarily want to draw our material and our encouragement from the Word of God. And we're asking the Holy Spirit to use this time of fellowship together to pull out his truths from his word as he's revealed them. But then that's delivered through the grid of the experience represented in this room. So that means that we're going to really be needing, mostly at your tables when we break out into our discussion time, your table discussions, but just jumping in, just encouraging each other. We can listen to each other, how we have approached some principle of Scripture. We've walked through valleys, we've been up on the peaks, and everywhere in between. And those experiences become huge. That's discipleship, right? We're just rubbing off on each other and learning from each other's experiences. And people with a very different temperament, people with a very different personality type, people with coming from different demographics, whatever, all of that works together to broaden our understanding of God and his work in the church globally, so that we're not so myopic that we're just focused on this is how sanctification works in Brentwood, Tennessee. It looks very different in other parts of the world, right? But the principles are the same. Okay, so we want to discover those principles. And hopefully everybody's on board with that format. It's going to be a lot of you guys just actively discipling one another, okay? And I will mention the other class is missions, just in case everybody knows. That's a missions class where we're going to be going through our philosophy of mission, interviewing, I think, some missions. Dr. Maynard and Rob Dixon are going to be teaching that class in the chapel. So just so you know, if this seems like this is a little too close, little too personal, there's options, okay? So what I want to do right now is just give you guys opportunity. Take the blank side of your sheet. You're going to read as a table. You can designate. I'm not going to ask you to designate a leader. Somebody's going to rise to the occasion. If you guys are in the back, this is, I think they, we might need to add a table or two. If you guys want to try to form a group, and you guys want to form a couple of groups back there so they're not too big, or I know there's a couple more seats if somebody wants to join.
We could take two more.
Two more up here. Yeah, so if we want to bring some chairs, there's space for two more. We'll get settled a little bit. Awesome. Thank you for that. Love it. I'll tell you, right now we're just getting chairs situated. All right, awesome, made it happen. Yes? No, I haven't told you yet. We took a seating break. Everybody's like, I have no clue what we're doing right now. All right, so now that you guys are in your groups, you have your seats together, on the blank page, there's that tag for the class. And what your exercise is, next 15, 20 minutes or so, look at that, and you start pointing out the different aspects. I'll give you an example. The first one, examining the biblical doctrine of sanctification. Stop. What is sanctification as you understand it? That's a good question. Ask your table. How do you guys understand sanctification? Do you have scriptural backing for that? You know, like, what do you point to get that idea of how that's even defined? So instead of this being a lecture where we're telling you what that means, you're going to draw from your years of experience to make that definition, and then we're going to work through that together. So that's what we're doing. So you take some time, find a word as a table. One word may jump out at one person, another word may jump out at another. So you just follow that lead, and this is really, folks, this is about time. It's just taken time to slow down and experience community together and unpack what God has for us and just kind of slow our tempo down a little. So we don't have an agenda on purpose, okay? We've got a whole semester worth of material we can get through, but we don't want to rush through that because we're trying to get through the material. We have the material ready to go, but we want you guys to enjoy the process of observation and discovery in community together. Does that make sense? So let me real quick just pray and just invite the Holy Spirit to guide us, to bring word to mind. Father, we thank you for this church. Just even hearing yesterday, somebody praying and giving you thanks because of the godly leadership that we have here and the focus of ministry on the gospel of Jesus Christ and providing opportunities like this where we can experience fellowship and community and grow together and learn from each other and encourage each other together on our journey of this process we call sanctification. Help us to learn about what that means. God, most importantly, to see you more clearly in that process, and that, God, you would encourage our hearts, that you would grow our faith, mature us as we grow closer to the image of Christ. And we do this, Father, looking forward to the appearing of our blessed hope, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Okay, so just go ahead and start the discussion. Somebody sees a word in there, point it out, and you just start talking through that. Scriptures that come to mind, and then just see what happens. Okay, and just go through that paragraph. I'll give you about 10 or 15 minutes. Perfect.
So with sanctification, every time I see it, I think of turning away from your sin. Well, first acknowledging your sin, then turning away from them, and then to be fully sanctified. Actually, now having positive reinforcements within your thoughts, actions, and everyday work. And so, you can't truly be sanctified if you're returning to the sin, still engaging in the sin, or thinking in sinful ways. And so, every time I see sanctification, that's how God truly sanctifies and truly cleans us, is by us with that transformation, transforming those thoughts and those actions that we usually would do. The same way how we would think about others, how would we think about ourselves, how do we see God and understand Him, changing those things and truly cementing those and integrating those within our being and in our daily work.
Okay.
You know, that kind of reminds me, it's kind of like what we talked about this week, you know, replacing the old with the new.
Yeah.
Those old thoughts, the worried thoughts, the fearful thoughts, and looking for with the
way we talk, speaking of encouragement, instead of speaking negatively, encouraging all of those.
Ephesians 4 is a great spot. Basically said,
Love that.
Interesting over time and more because it's not an immediate
I heard it was a message John Piper was giving this week, and he says couldn't he have just snapped his fingers and were immediately fully sanctified right at the beginning? It was a really great message, but he asked that question of, and it's a really important distinction. I really appreciated how it was worded. It included a lot of good clues for kind of how this all works. Yeah.
The passage that comes to mind for me is Romans 8:29, where God says that He is warning us to be vegetarians. Forming doesn't really think about like Play-Doh, and you know, it comes to my world too. It's got its own shape. It's not like it's formless. It has to be reshaped to And that is continually forming us, which is not comfortable and necessary.
Yeah, and I hope as you guys are doing it, like, write some of these down, because then we'll share those things, like picturing Play-Doh being squeezed out of. Awesome. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, just this morning, I read Psalm 19:14, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Your words in your mind. And even the meditation of your heart, your whole body.
Yes.
What's pleasing to Him, not pleasing to
God. Yeah.
Right.
That's the sanctification and figuring out how is my life be pleasing and glorifying to God, in all that I do.
Yeah.
Washing the dishes.
Yeah. And I like how you said that, like what's pleasing to Him, not necessarily to us, and just how that factors into it too, even just, you know, the things that are pleasing. And, yeah.
And how do I make what's pleasing to me pleasing to God? You know, how can it be one and the same?
Yeah.
It's pleasing to me, it's pleasing to God, right?
Yep.
Not pleasing to me because I like it.
Yeah.
Also, to add, to piggyback off of what both of you guys are saying, it's so funny that examining the biblical doctrine of sanctification ties hand in hand with the work of the Holy Spirit, repentance, and obedience to God's word. Because truly, the word of God is embodying that Holy Spirit, is turning away from sin, repenting from the wrongs he did, and being obedient to his word. Over time, it's a daily intentional thing. Whereas to where there's a lot of distractions in the world, a lot of wicked things within the world, a lot of things that may tempt us of the carnal world. But intentionally praying for the Holy Spirit, intentionally waking up every day repenting, intentionally delving into God's word, into the Bible, and being obedient to his word, keep us saved and sanctified, keep us protected away from the wickedness within the world. And that way we truly stay saved and truly spread his word and his message every day. And truly live for him and live for his praise. Instead of, like you guys were saying, a praise for the world. So let's stay into the Bible, being obedient to his word, praying for that Holy Spirit, continuing to repent, continuing to be aware of our actions. And as soon as we turn off of the narrow path, acknowledge it and turn back on it, that will keep us there. I see it's just powerful. Very much so powerful.
Good word, soldier.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's sanctification.
Right.
Yeah.
Remind myself, like, it's a very sanctifying thing, so yeah, just in every single thing. We can be sanctified. Just changing the doctrine, all the things. And,
good word. Yeah.
Folding the laundry, and it's like just a different process to remind yourself that, you know, yeah, this is maybe seems like a menial task, but we all should fold. And this person needs to bathe the chairs, you know, whatever it is. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very practical way to.
Have you heard of the Brother Lawrence practicing the presence of God? Did you think about that, Jen? I mean, he was washing dishes and pots and pans to the glory of God. And he just, it didn't matter what our hand found to do. He was just always in worship, and he cultivated this life. It's a shorter little book, but yeah, that very thing. Just praying while you're folding clothes or changing a diaper. Woo, Lord help me. Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's, and you see these little nuggets of the gospel for those who love him. We couldn't do that if he didn't save us, right? So we love because he first loved us. So there's a lot of indicators about who he is writing to, like in Romans 8, and it's believers who are indwelt by the, yep, yeah.
And the word believer, you know, as you just mentioned, it's, and this is one of the things that Pastor Scott repeats again and again and again through the men's leadership training when we do that. by grace through faith, start to finish. We're saved by grace through faith at the beginning, and we're saved by grace through faith continuing. We trust the Lord and He transforms us, which is an active trust, but it is ultimately we are dependent upon Him and we have to trust Him to do the work.
It's always in that order, by grace first.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
The word actively, kind of what is going on behind the scenes. Yes.
Yeah.
So is God actively transformed? What is our part of that? And it says through repentance and obedience. So there is our part, but the God actively, what is that? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Not passively.
Any scriptures come to mind about the one popped off the page when I first read that? Like, yeah. Or just that combination. The Philippians 2:12-13, where it's like, so work out your salvation in fear and trembling, knowing it's God who is at work in you. It's like that, when you were saying that, it's like that is exactly, you know, that principle there, where it's work it out, and I think that's the word we get, ergonomics. It's like there's this working, there's this effort there, but it's God's power, it's His energy, energon, I think, and so it's His energy that is making that happen, and this beautiful combination, but He's the one who is doing it, and then we are able by our decisions cooperate with what He's trying to do. It's like the, you know, the Holy, don't quench the Holy Spirit, walk by the Spirit. There's decisions we've got to make, and like Paul said, but it wasn't me working it, it was the grace of God in me. And yeah, just that beautiful mystery. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the encouraging, one of the great encouragements. He gives us the will, and He works on us.
Yeah.
To do it. So He gives us both the desire and the strength to carry it out.
Yeah, good word.
I can't remember who said, but there was one of the reformers said, command what you will, and it's like, and then essentially give us the will to do what you command.
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
To will and work for His good pleasure. That reminds me of what you said, like, for His good pleasure, and that becomes our pleasure, right? Is just seeing Him pleased. I love that word and how it's used throughout Scripture, but yeah. Good. Yeah, there's a lot there in that little paragraph, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. No, I think Scott and Ben, they kind of came up with the description for the class. Yeah. I just thought it was great. It packed so much into it. There's so much there. I figured that would be a good first exercise to just kind of look at something and start really pulling things out of it.
Could I add something? I would say, because reading this, it made me think about my life. Because it said God actively transforms believers over time through the work of the Holy Spirit, repentance, and obedience to God's word. And I was on the ride here. I was talking to them about my life. I came from like a lot of different schools of thought. There were people in my family that were Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, people that were just very spiritual, into like chakras and stuff like that. And so, not leaning on my own understanding, but leaning on God's understanding, right? Mm. Just being obedient to His word. There was times where, like, I would do like these trial runs. Okay, I'm gonna just go and do what I think. But then I started listening to God's voice, and when He would say, "Hey, go this way" or "Do this," I started to see how my life literally changed like that.
Mm.
And it was an intentional thing every day, 24/7, of just choosing God and being obedient to what He say.
Yeah.
And then I noticed a lot of the people around me, including myself, as we lean on our own understanding, we end up into this perpetual state of self-destruction, mm-hmm. this loop of self-destruction.
Yeah.
And it's just wild. Like, reading it made so much sense.
Yeah.
It just made so much sense. And being actively transformed over time to where I usually leaned on my own understanding. I used to think I knew everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I know nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's where you find, that's where freedom is found, right? It's like we were kind of in bondage to our sin and our own understanding.
Right.
And to reconnect to the God who is leading us, His resources are limitless.
Right.
Right?
Right. And,
and His
knows.
Power.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Good stuff. Any others? I'll walk away from the table. It's always the danger, but we'll start getting it ready. That is good stuff. How we doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Awesome. You got a note taker?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's fun to see how people are responding to that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give it about 2 more minutes. Come in midweek and put some sheets up there on the... Okay, another 15 seconds. All right, so the next step we're going to do is good. I'm trying to ease off the off-ramp there. But so how was that? Yeah, I'm noticing, okay, volume's going to be an issue, being able to hear, right? A lot of background noise. That's a drawback. Didn't anticipate that one. But if that's the only drawback, then we can work around that. So now what we want to do, it's a packed little paragraph, right? I think Scott and Ben, coming up with these classes, they came up with that tagline. I saw it first when it was printed in the bulletin, and I thought, man, there's a lot there. And just helping us understand what it is we're going to be discovering in this class. So I thought that would be a good introductory exercise to just go through the points that are in there and just discover that together. So that being said, let's start hearing from you guys. The words that jumped out at you, the things that you discussed about it, if there's any perspectives, scriptural references for those points, or just life experiences that you heard that kind of brought one of those points out to you. All of that stuff kind of together, okay? So, what'd you pull out of that paragraph? That's right.
We started with just the thought of when you hear the word sanctification, what do you think? And a couple of things that came out were passages from Romans 8, John 17 were two that were mentioned. Mentioned looking at the life of Peter and Paul through their lives, through scripture, discipline and perspective. Process, a lifelong process,
even more of a process. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And awesome. Yep.
Yeah, so our table, we started the discussion of sanctification with the verse from James, the verses from James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking.
Okay. So what does that speak to as far as sanctification? Like for that passage there, you guys had that discussion. What does that draw out about the process of sanctification?
It's a process.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Can I add something?
Yeah, soldier.
I would say sanctification to me is like the process of gardening. Like when you plant the seed, you don't want to plant it too deep or too close to the sun. Also, you want to water it every day. You want to talk to that plant because they respond. They can hear your voice. And then on top of that, you don't want to clip. You want to keep the weeds away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to put the leaves too thick. And then you want to make sure it has adequate sunlight, but not too much sunlight. And so as I see sanctification within my own life, how I can mirror that is God has watered me every day. He spoke to me every day. It was an ongoing process. It's a process, an ongoing process that lasts until my life is over. It's an intentional. My apologies. An intentional daily thing of denying myself, choosing the Most High, being obedient to His word, and actively transforming my thoughts, and actively transforming my actions throughout my life, and how do I glorify Him within my whole life.
Hmm.
So I'll say it could be compared to a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of analogies.
Yeah.
I love that though. A seed in the ground, nailed it. Yeah, awesome. Okay, so sanctification is where it sounds like a lot of you dialed in at first, right? And then where'd you go? That's love it. Well, there's a lot there to unpack, right? Okay, what'd you guys come up with sanctification? There might be a lot of overlap.
Process, but also how God uses difficult tragedy or.
Ooh. So some of the specifics of how He does that, some of the ways that He'll introduce into that. So suffering, that's going to be a specific topic that we'll cover. Major, major part of our growth.
He uses children over here.
We got that over here too. Yeah. Sanctification is synonymous with small children, apparently. Yeah. Yeah, some of the older parents are going, not just the small children, right? Yeah, so parenting, right? Just those ingredients that God is using to just, okay, let's just pause there. This is the beauty of this. Children, toddlers, teenagers, oy, adults. Why is that sanctifying? What's happening?
We're being reborn, or in a child is like at a very moldable stage, and then God says He wants to be like children. And there's this innocence there, there's this purity there, and then there's this state of being able to be molded. You're very valuable, so you can be shaped into anything.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Also, a reminder of how little control
Yeah.
That's why I think it's the hardest with, like, adults.
Whoa, wife. Well, hold on a minute. Yeah.
It's also very humbling. That process is very humbling. And I think, you know, I think in one way, sanctification starts with a sense of humility on our part. And I think the whole parenting process, regardless of the age of the children, is humbling at times.
Yeah.
And I think that's healthy for us.
Yeah.
It's also ongoing, and it changes daily. I mean, it's not the same tribulation over and over. It's something different daily. It's also different between boys and girls, you know, the different tests that you get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With the children, they start out very malleable and trying to please, but as they turn into teenagers, they become increasingly challenging, let's say. Sometimes very disobedient, sometimes less so, but there's this challenging your principles and your authority, just like, so that reflects our relationship to God, where we also are talking to Him, and you see your own, the mirror image of your relationship with God and your children's relationship
yeah.
with you, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm doing the same thing to the Lord, I'm not trusting Him, so why do I expect them to trust me in this situation, or I'm being disobedient, I'm not obeying His commands, so why am I surprised that the children aren't obeying my commands, and then,
there you go.
But there's a lot of the false challenge too, where they're like, oh, why do I have to be obedient to you? And then that sanctifies you, because you're like, oh, well, this is, you go through your biblical principles, and it really pushes you to become more, have much greater integrity, because then you're like, well, this is why I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to do the things that you really don't like, or you're right, you know? So that really sanctifies
which is,
you.
Yeah, that, which is kind of that picture too.
To have hostility in your own family. It's
really yeah. Yeah.
And I was just going to say self-denial, you know, like with babies, with teenagers or whatever age, there's a lot of like, you have to just put yourself aside, you know, what you want to do, which is sanctifying.
Yep.
It's hard, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I think also parenting just reveals my sin. It's on full display sometimes, and it's very,
yeah.
Sanctifying.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
And while we're demanding patience, we're being impatient, you know, and then it should drive us, you know, to the throne of God, begging for mercy. How do I do this? You know, God, give me grace.
And, yeah.
Yeah, not easy.
Yep. And there's a lot of dynamics in there when our sin gets exposed, which is another one of the topics we're going to look at. But what do we do with that? You know, there's one of the dangers, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but we can tend to either overestimate our sin to where that becomes our identity, and we become consumed with our failure, and we're forgetting a very important aspect of the gospel, or we can underestimate our sin and think it's the other people. And it's if everybody else would get it right, or my circumstances would change, then I could get it right. So I'm just waiting for everybody else to do their part so that I can be all that, you know. So there's some very dangerous conclusions we can come to about sin, the principle of sin. And we can, and maybe this sounds familiar, but we are pendulums and we are constantly swinging. And that's why this is what is so needed and necessary to calibrate us and to draw us to the center. God's word, the logos of God, the meaning of God, the mind of God, as He has communicated Himself here in this amazing gift, we have His word right here to know His heart and His mind in order to inform us about what's happening. Next week, we're going to do a big exercise. I'm a big fan of this, but we just look at context. Okay? We're going to do some timelines. It's always helpful to me to just understand how all of this, whether we're at the small child phase, whether we're at the adult children phase, whether we're in the financial things, whether it's medical, whatever it is, whatever stage of life, we're just keeping it all in the perspective of the overarching narrative of God and his redemptive story in us, with us, and how we fit into his timeline, right? So we're going to take some time. I really appreciated here and where you said daily, like that. It is a daily, Steve and I have had a lot of conversations, but the principle of daily is so huge in our sanctification. Every day, we can have the best spiritual day ever. And you go to sleep and you're praising God and everything is as it should be. And you wake up even before there's a word on your tongue or whatever it is, these emotions all of a sudden show up. And it's like, wait a minute, what's happening here? And it kind of sets you off in a mood. And then you have this different grid than you did yesterday. And all these things that start happening are just irritating, right? So our emotions, our thoughts, all those kinds of things, everything fluctuates. And every day is a need to take up our cross daily to follow Christ, to come to God daily, to seek the manna that he offers, his provision, one day at a time. John Piper said it. There was as he's talking about daily, this principle of daily, he says, God gives us enough gas for one day so that we'll have to pull back into the station tomorrow and just get replenished and to get refilled. It's the picture of manna in the wilderness, right? He didn't want them taking more than a day's worth, except to keep the Sabbath. And then he provided the 2 days, right? In his economy, he wants us to daily come to him and pray the same thing every day. Lord, I need you. And I'm expectant for what you will do. He delights for that daily coming to him, right? So that was sanctification. There's a lot of other stuff in there. We are going to cover, because I do want to make sure we're done by 5 till 10 every week. So people who need to go to work or get their children or whatever. So we're going to try to stay on that track. What I wanted to just put in our minds, and this just popped in my head where I'm being sanctified right now, so I wanted to share with you, and somebody had mentioned over here at this table, the putting off and the putting on, right? The transformation where we're putting off old and we're putting on new. We're putting off old way of thinking. We're putting on a new way of thinking. Ephesians 4:28 is one of my favorite verses about the transformation process and repentance. You can learn a lot in there from that. So Ephesians 4:28, the Revised Danny version, says this: He who road rages must road rage no longer. I'm just going to keep it real. But rather he must drive courteously and patiently, obeying all rules of the road, including the observation of speed limits and the proper use of turn signals, with willingness and eagerness, so that he can demonstrate a kindness and love to fellow drivers, even those who selfishly pass on the right side and then cut you off. So, I just throw that out there, hypothetically speaking. I commute on the 840 a lot. And I have seen how God is using this area. And my wife will attest that my patience are that thin. Okay, so my tempo in life is generally quicker, so I'm in the left lane. But when you see in two lanes of traffic, and this detail is for a reason, mostly my own humility, because I need to work on that. So you're in the left lane, the right lane, there's nobody over there because there's a very slow vehicle up there that you can't really see, right? And there may be a truck or two involved. So everybody's over in the left for a reason. And then here comes dude or dudette up the right side, cutting in front of everybody. And then when they get up there, what are they going to do? When they come on the back of that slow-moving vehicle, what are they going to do? They're going to wedge themselves into the left whether there's room or not, right? Because where they have to get to and when they get there is way more important than everybody else in the universe, right? So you know they're going to do it. So now, if you're the spot, you know where I'm going? Yeah, see, I'm not the only one. So what do you have a decision to make. What are you going to do? Huh? Our elder just said, you have an opportunity to speed up, close that gap, and hey, you're going to have to get in the back of the line where you should have stayed in the first place. Teach him a lesson. Or, what are some options here in this hypothetical scenario?
Let them in.
You know, I ran across a bumper sticker yesterday. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love lets me into your lane. I saw that yesterday. And the beauty of it is, I was needing to merge on, and that lady with that bumper sticker got over lane so I could get in. So she was living it. I loved it. Because usually we'll see those bumper stickers and they're the ones cutting everybody off, right? So, I've been challenged. Because I'll close that gap. No, you need to learn a lesson. You need to be taught that you need to wait just like there's a reason we're all over here just being patient, waiting, okay? So there's justification. That's our flesh just saying, nope. And to allow to back off, even when the guy behind you is going, yeah, dude, keep the gap closed. Don't let him in, right? And so they're pressing you. And you back off, and so now they're right on top of you, but you let them in. Then, if you don't let them in, let's say you just keep your spot, and they just take it anyway, what goes through your mind at that point? Leo knows. Leo starts laughing. What happens when they cut you off like that? Okay, where are the real aggressive drivers that keep about 1 foot between you and the... just to show them you shouldn't have gotten in that space? Anybody do that? No, I'm the only one on that one, I guess. Okay. Okay.
Honking.
What's that?
A little bit of honking.
Yeah, maybe. So there's honking. There's hopefully no gestures. But there's this keeping the car really close. But the point being, it's a very practical way to see what's really going on in my heart. And if God can take that level of selfishness out of me and replace it with love, just like that bumper sticker said, that is transformation, right? And that's what we're after. We often think of all these terms with the big ticket items, and we keep our theology kind of up here, and it's all the holy moments, but it is the very changing diaper moments. It's the driving in traffic moments. It's those little moments like that where we see God changing to where we actually just set the cruise control at the speed limit, maybe even a mile under, just to make sure we're staying away from the, and be okay with it. Not the, you know, that process of first you go through judging everybody else for not driving the speed limit and getting angry and all those kind of things, but to just rest in the Lord. And his provision, his sovereignty over your time and circumstances, that you'll get there precisely when he means for you to. Steve.
Danny, your example is so good because when it makes me, and I think you use this word once, but yielding.
Yeah.
And it's hard to yield to God because of our own selfish desires. And that word, when you were going through that example, it just really struck me that our sanctification again involves us yielding to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And letting him have our heart, yielding. God is actively, we shared over here at our table, there was a scripture that came to mind. We're going to close with I'll hold that scripture for now because I said 10:55. Thank you guys for your participation. I think as we move forward, we'll keep in mind the noise levels, so we'll try to keep it close. But it's a fun format to just get each other's input. We're going to dive into more specific scriptural concepts, not just the paragraph. But as we do that, bring your Bibles, and we're just going to dive in together and glean from each other. So again, Father, we just ask for your blessing on the next 9 weeks of this time together, that God, you have brought into this room, and you will set at each table precisely who you mean to. We trust that. And God, we just ask that you will open our hearts and our minds, grant us the wisdom that your Spirit provides to understand what it is it means to be in Christ and to be transformed in the renewing of our minds. All, Father, that you are glorified, you are exalted, you are magnified, so that you are seen, that the world will know of your glory as we walk in obedience to your commands. Increase our testimony in that way, Father, and that we would bear much fruit, that our light would shine, so that you are glorified and lifted up. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.